T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Monday. God, we're so busy. We have merchandise for sale. They're probably gone by now, but at the start of the show, we had 10 Mark Close t-shirts left in big sizes, like XL and double, triple XL. We just announced Paranormal Wednesday is going to be coming back this Wednesday, and we're going to announce the next big DGS live comedy show probably by the end of the week. I'm super excited about that. Bo Matthews sitting in with us today. You like it so far? You
love
fun?
It. Love it. Good. I've been a huge fan, listened for years, and to be amongst these pros, you know, just
luminaries.
People passionate. Yeah, yeah. I mean, a legend to my right.
You to his left.
Yeah, me to my Dave left. Dave. Yeah, bookends.
It didn't, no, 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 it didn't work.
Former didn't work attorney like to my left.
Yeah, keep you close, man. No, it's fantastic. The room is lively and full of people. My gosh, it was, I mean, just Tony, and it's just really
it's
cool. And don't you like sometimes have like winners of stuff that come in to get to watch what goes on?
People buy us at auctions.
They invite
people in all the time.
Mark invites
the world.
What a concept to be able to come in and see what's going on, because just like Gort, your story from a while ago in your corner, that control board that Rachel's on looks like a spaceship. It really does.
Yep.
I call it the Gort machine.
Yeah.
We will now.
Completely unrelated.
Just you push a button and Gort will be here.
That's it. Clad too.
And Sue Thomas just took your antler that you gave to Rachel earlier. So
I had no idea.
Thank you for this.
Yeah. I found one in the front yard, brought it in. It was pretty cool. And she informed me. I didn't know they used it for dog chews. That's great.
Did you re-gift it, though? Did you give it to Rachel?
He jokingly said that I should make a necklace out of it because I guess that's my style. And then he said, "No, you can't have this. I'm keeping this." And now Sue has it.
Lulu the Bulldog will love this as a dog chew.
No doubt.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
I had no idea.
Yeah, they do cow hooves, which is always kind of creepy to me.
Yeah,
but
they
pig ears.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
So we're Facebook Living. Tony asked me a week or two ago if he could talk about something. We talked about this a long time ago.
Yeah, Dave's known for years. Yeah. It's something Dave and I have talked about.
Years. And so I said, absolutely, you talk about anything you want for as long as you want, so the floor is yours.
Well, it's not going to take long to tell you this quick story, but I would imagine that you're going to have questions, and I'm happy to talk as long as you want about this. Weird that Bo Matthews is here, but it's cool.
I can step out of the room if you'd
like. Not at all. I just like Dave was saying, everything is so crazy right now that, you know, I meet you and you're here for this, and it's, but it's good because this is going from, right now there's less than 10 people that know what I'm about to say. And now I'm going to tell everybody in the whole world, about 5 years ago. Just over 5 years ago, January 2014, I came to the terrifying realization that I had developed a dependency to opioid painkillers. I, for years, was dealing with back pain and had been getting prescriptions from various doctors various painkillers in over the course of a few years. The number of the pills and the strength of the pills kept going up and going up and going up. And I never really thought much of it. I never thought that I had a problem or that there was an issue until I tried to stop taking them. And then I realized that there was a big problem. So I went through a treatment program, and I have been clean for years, but it's something that is a part of my life, and I have, over the years, felt very we've had, you know, we've had doctors in and we've had these discussions about opioid addiction, and it's such a big thing in the news, and it's such a big part of everybody, of the election and all that kind of stuff. And I always just felt like I could offer so much insight, and I could talk from a position that a lot of people can't speak from, and maybe help people, maybe inform people in any way that I could. And so, you know, over those years, you know, over the last few years, I've just been like, I really want to talk about this. I didn't know, though, you know, I am not embarrassed by it at all. But, you know, I talked to my family, and my wife has been telling me for years to go and talk about it and do whatever I think I can do to educate, enlighten, help anyone. So, yeah. So that's, I mean, if you want to ask me anything about any of it, feel free. But just going forward, I want to be able to, you know, when these opioid stories come up, or if there's somebody that is dealing with addiction issues, you know, listeners, anybody that I know or don't know, if there's anything I can do to just give you a little insight or a little help or a little advice, and when we have these conversations going forward, I can speak from a position of knowing what it's like, because if you don't know what it's like, you don't know what it's, there's no way that you can understand it. So hopefully now going forward, when we do have these conversations, these topics do come up, I can help. I can contribute in a way that will make some people understand maybe a little bit better. And like I said, maybe make somebody feel better that they realize they're not alone or isolated in a situation that nobody understands.
Well,
so that's it.
Thank you. Good for you. Very proud of you. I've known for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And as Tony knows, most of you guys know, I have addiction all around me in my family and friends. Talk to me about, because many times between the two of us, it's come up that someone will say like, oh man, I'm so addicted to this. And you'll say, no, they're not.
Right.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
And you paint a very terrifying, bleak story of what it's like to come off of something you didn't know you were addicted to, and you found out you were.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It's the worst thing that can you can experience. It, at least for me, it was. Withdrawals are, they're horrible. And so, you know, Dave, you talk, we've talked over the years about your brother who committed suicide, and every now and then somebody will make a joke or make an offhand remark like, oh, I just want to kill myself.
Yeah.
You know, and, or, you know, they do the gun thing to the head or whatever. And you've always said you don't take that personally, and you understand, but, you know, sometimes it kind of catches you off guard. You never know how you're going to, you know, and you react. So yeah, when we're hearing somebody talk about, and, you know, they're trying to make a point how they have a literal addiction to chocolate. You know, it's like, you know, usually that's, you know, I don't want anybody to not say those things. And I understand what you're saying when you say it. But yeah, it is, you know, sometimes, you know, when somebody's like, no, it is, it's like really having an addiction. I like this thing so much. And I, you know, I can't, I just do it all the time. It really is. I think I know what it's like to be addicted to something. No, you don't know what it's like to be. But that doesn't mean, again, I don't take it personally, or anything, and I don't think very many people do. But
I remember in the first time I really understood it at all was in the movie Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage, where he's a terrible alcoholic, and he doesn't drink to get drunk. He drinks to feel somewhat normal.
Sure.
Because he feels so awful without alcohol in his system.
Yeah.
And you said it was really very similar.
Oh, no doubt.
You didn't get high.
So I was getting these drugs, and I'm not going to say that, look, was there some overprescription? Probably. Am I going to blame what happened to me on doctors? No. Maybe I could, and maybe some people would, but I certainly enjoyed having the, you know, I enjoyed what those drugs did for me, and I would embellish to the doctors to get more. And if somebody, you know, if there was another way to find, you know, to get your hands on some, I was all in. But then, yeah, you get to a point where you all that goes away. The benefits, the fun of it, the no pain, the high energy. And, you know, everybody reacts differently. Some people take the same thing and they, like, it makes, gives me energy and it makes other people go to sleep or feel sick. So it's, you know, it just depends on how your body reacts to it. But yeah, you, that all goes away. And now you're just taking the medicine just to feel normal. Or to not even not some, and even to a point where not even normal, just to not feel extremely sick. And that's when, you know, that's when you really gotta do something about it.
And I know you and Christine are such a great couple and so much respect for you guys. And she's always been so in your corner. And I remember years ago when you first told me about it, you had talked about, like, she was your partner in crime almost. Like, you guys are ready to pull some shenanigans.
Yeah, I mean, she would do whatever she could. Yeah, if she needed to help me, she would help me. Like, she would, but she always was the driving force behind, you know, I will help you to not be sick right now, but we're going to get this fixed immediately.
This is not a long-term plan.
Yeah, I mean, it was, it really went, I mean, I looking back, it's, you're just dumb. To not realize it, but, you know, I didn't know that I had a dependency, an addiction, until all of a sudden I didn't have the medicine anymore. And then it, you know, this, you go and you get extremely sick. And
like what? Yeah. But how can we relate to it?
It's just the worst of everything. You, for me, it was, it just extreme pain everywhere in your body. You can't sleep, but you also can't move. You have, you also have no energy. I couldn't get out of bed, but I also couldn't sleep. And you're, it's just, you're sick. Everything, your head, your stomach, your body aches. It's, it's when somebody's going through that. Now, I never did, you know, I and I'm not better than anybody else, but at least I had the, I don't know, I was able to get help pretty quickly. But I understand when people do crazy things, when you hear about people that would never, you know, commit a crime or take something from an old person or a child or something, you know, to get you, when you, when you are, when you're feeling that way, I understand. I don't condone it, and there are ways to, the first thing you do when they, with the first, at least in my treatment program, the first thing you get when you go to the treatment program is medicine to feel better. Like, they give it to you immediately, so you're not that way anymore, so you don't have to. You think you have to, but you don't have to go out and do these underhanded things, you know, these things to get your hands up. But you don't, but some people don't realize that, or they don't look into anything and they do really bad things. Luckily, so, I never had, you know, never experienced that part of it.
So did you run out of pills at one point?
Yeah,
my
doctor said, you've been doing this stuff for too long. We need to knock it off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And did you know then? Were you like, okay, no big deal? Or were you like, oh, crap?
Well, I was like, you know what it was? I was like, party's over. You know, but I didn't think anything other than that.
And how long did it take without it in your system that you felt?
A couple days. Yeah.
And how long did you go before getting it back in your system or getting help?
A week. Yeah. Probably a week. A really bad week.
And this all started with back pain, right? Mm-hmm. You said a bad back?
Yeah. Back pain that I still suffer from.
Yeah.
And thank God for my chiropractor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crazy thing is friends of friends, you know, their parents are in their 70s and there's an addiction problem and they've gone to rehab at that point, at that age, and you just don't think it's not just a younger person's issue because you are trying to help yourself. Doctor gives you pills for the pain that I'm going to have, and then all of a sudden,
if you're in your 70s, I would say, I mean, even I remember even having those conversations with my doctor, like, there's a point of life where it's just okay to be addicted just to help yourself, you know, because...
But it's not.
Well, it depends. I guess it all depends on your own, but yeah.
It's like they're numb, you know? Right. There's nothing there.
Yeah, take a quick break. We're Facebook Living this. If you would like to tweet something, share a story, a thought, if you want to call, 314-241-9797, 866-455-9797. Quick break, DGS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
5:30 p.m. Bo Matthews is hanging out with us. Tony was just sharing in the previous segment something he shared with me a couple years ago, that about 5 years ago he realized that he was addicted to opioid medicines, which millions of people have been or are. For me, the turning point was Rush Limbaugh. When one of the richest, most successful, I'm sorry, but sort of holier-than-thou moral paragons is paying his maid to do back-alley deals, that tells you how powerful this stuff is. I've been pretty honest, although I haven't been detailed about the addictions in and around my life. And I've been through the, why don't you just stop? Why can't, you know, and it's an education and it's a process and it's different for everyone. And some people, I absolutely believe 100% have a predisposition, a genetic predisposition. Others, I don't think there's a human alive that if you give them enough opioids, Oxycontin, oxytocin, whatever it is, that they're not going to become addicted. And it's something that has become a national phenomenon and a national epidemic and a tragedy because people like Tony, people like Rush Limbaugh, just normal people who aren't looking to party, they have real issues. They've injured themselves. They have a bad back. And as I understand it, within a few weeks, you can become dependent on these things. And Tony was sharing how he didn't even know that he was dependent until he tried to stop. Nothing like that, but I was using Trazodone to sleep at night, and I used it for probably 6 months, and I ran out of it for a week, and I had a baby version of that. The feeling of, like, ants under your skin and just anxious. So having a full-blown version of that, I just can't even imagine. So obviously, your family knows.
Oh, yeah.
Your kids know.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they notice when you were in your real bad times?
I think they just thought I had the flu or something.
Yeah.
Because I would shut myself in the room and, you know, dad's sick.
Because being around you, I never noticed it.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, we were working with you every day, and I
before the week of treatment, I went to an outpatient treatment, and you had to for 1 week you had to be there every day for 10 hours a day, and then after that for the next couple of months it was every night, so I could could work, and then they'd go there in the evening. But before treatment started, I was here, and it was, I mean, I was on there. I would literally sometimes go outside and go up those steps and have a melt and have a total breakdown and at commercial break and come back in here with you guys and do the show.
That's crazy.
No idea.
So I'm sorry if you addressed this last segment, but so whenever the doctor was like, all right, no more, let's cut it out, did he taper you off, or was it like, so when this bottle's done, it's done?
It was like that. And when we realized that there was a problem, I mean, he steered me in a direction to go. I mean, and then once he realized, you know, here's something to get you through, and here's where you need to go. And so it was
just more intense than you guys.
I don't want to blame it on the doctors, because I did. I mean, I certainly did more than I was supposed to do, and I used it for things that I wasn't supposed to be using it for, so I'm not going to say that it was. I do believe that that's a big thing, though, I don't think it's that big of a thing anymore, but, you know, 5-10 years ago, I mean, it started out as 30 a month, 60 a month, 90 a month, 120 a month. I mean,
what?
It just
wow.
Like they didn't. It was, and it wasn't even
didn't
difficult.
Even blink.
They didn't even blink. And so I think that was a big problem that doctors had. But I don't think that exists anymore.
And what was the medicine you were taking?
Combination Vicodin, Tramadol, Percocet. Mostly Vicodin and Tramadol.
I also think it's so interesting because a lot of times when you hear these stories, whenever it's taken away, people start just like fiending for it. And Tony, you just thought, all right, fine. But it's like, oh, no, even though he's fine with it, you're still addicted. Like you weren't psychologically addicted at all. You're just physically addicted and had no idea. That's super scary.
Yeah, the psychological part comes along with the physical addiction for sure. But yeah, you're physically addicted.
I think the scariest part is that people will take any pill you hand them. I mean, you know, that the people that use it for recreational, if you will, they'll just, I mean, you can tell them, matter of fact, a family member took something, got very ill, and when I found out that it was the same tranquilizer they used to ease the pain of a cat being put down, it's like, it's a cat tranquilizer? You took a cat tranquilizer, and I just wanted to smack my nephew upside. Oh. Well, sorry. Okay, so friend of a friend.
No, I dumped it.
No. It's horrifying because they have no idea. And maybe it's just, you know, in Hollywood movies and things, and they're like, oh, give me some of those. Give me the. You don't know where that came from.
Yeah, sure.
You don't know what cupboard or medicine cabinet. That's frightening.
Hello, Jason. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
So, Jake, me?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, man.
Hey, this is the gay handshake bartender.
Oh, yeah. This is my friend Jason. He was out at Fast Eddie's with us. He owns a bar in Edwardsville. We used to work together at Have a Nice Day Cafe. Remember the whole turnover handshake conversation? That's Jason.
Yeah, it got real weird. man, I just wanted to let you know, I've always liked you. Like, you've always been a solid dude, but kudos for you to, like, just put it all out there, man.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm impressed. Hey, trust me, I live in a world of addiction.
Yeah. As a bar, yeah, sure. Yeah. No, I really appreciate that. I'm getting a lot of awesome comments on Twitter, too, and I appreciate everybody that's tweeting.
Hello, Blake. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question for Tony. I'm taking the pills, too, for back pain.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get off of them, but, you know, it's pretty hard because I'm still working and I need them just to get through the day.
Yeah. I understand.
I just wonder if he has any advice on what to do about the pain if I do get off of them.
Well, like, so for me, I started regularly going to a chiropractor, and it helps. And there are ways to take, you know, over-the-counter, you know, ibuprofen and acetaminophen and stuff. But it's tough, man. Maybe there's no good answer for you. But when you're ready to be absolutely done, there are wonderful treatment centers. Don't feel like there's nowhere to go, and don't feel like there's nothing you can do, because there's, and I can get into what I did and how I did it, but they can find their own sort of what works best for them.
So for all of my issues, and you know how many I have, I've never had enough physical pain. I've never had a pain med in my life. I've never taken a pill like Vicodin or anything like that in my life. I've been very fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing they work really well.
Well, it's so funny because it really, everybody's different. Everybody's body is different. Everybody's reaction is different. Like I said, I drank, as we've talked about this before, I was a heavy, I've come from a heavy line of heavy drinkers, and you know, my family drink at parties, and we drink in after work, and you know, and I could drink every night after work, but then stop for a few days, and there was I had no problem, no reaction whatsoever. Another person could do that and become absolutely addicted to the alcohol and drink as much as I did, and then have to have it. Some people can take opioids for months or years and then just stop, and there's not any physical addiction. Most people there are, but not everybody. And some people take it, like I said earlier, the first one I took, it was the freaking best I've ever felt. I had tons of energy. I had no pain. I felt like I was a I felt like I was better on the radio. I felt like I was better with my kids because I could go and keep up and have a great time. And you know, other people would take the medicine that I, the exact same pill, and it would knock them out.
Yeah.
Or it would make them sick.
It's obviously
everybody's different. It's
obviously
weird.
A different thing, but I know more than a few incredibly successful people, millionaires, who recreationally used meth or what's the other one? I guess just smoked heroin.
Yeah.
And they said it didn't take weeks. It took one time.
Yeah.
And also said, I now know, being clean, I'll never feel that good again.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, boy, you must feel so great.
Mm.
I do. I'm out of the hell that was addiction, but I normal life does not feel as good as being like that.
I would co-sign that immediately.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really powerful.
I have chased that energy, like trying to find how to, in the no pain thing is one thing, but the energy that it get, that just the, just, you just feel great. You're just happy and you feel great and you're ready to just be with your kids and play on jungle gyms and let's go. And it was awesome, but that's not, but it wasn't real.
Yeah.
It was at a very steep cost.
Mm.
So yeah, but yeah, that's definitely, that's one of the things that'll mess with your head more than anything. Because you're like,
what would you say to parents and what would you say to teenagers who think they know everything and go to parties and there's Vicodin and there's Tramadol and there's Oxycontin and they don't want to listen to anything their parents say? What would you say to anyone who's going through it who might happen to be listening?
Yeah. It's not worth it. It's not, it's, I understand, and everybody thinks, and I did too. I never even thought I was addicted. After years, I didn't think I was addicted, which is so stupid looking back. But everybody thinks, you know, it's the cliche. Everybody thinks they can stop whenever they want to stop, and I don't need this, and I just do this on the weekends, and it's a party, and it's fine, whatever, and I've got it under control. It's a dangerous, slippery slope. So it's not worth it. And if you find yourself in that situation, you need to get help.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, our buddy Bo Matthews hanging out with us. Tony just very bravely shared a story about the last few years where he's been clean for years now, but he realized that he was addicted to opioids and painkillers and didn't realize it until he stopped and then kind of went through hell and got treatment. And, you know, it's a huge issue, and so it comes up on the show probably once a week, and I've known for a couple years now, and when it comes up, Tony and I catch each other's eye because he talked about I want to talk about it at some point, and I knew that he was frustrated because he really had something to say but wasn't quite ready. So today he talked about it. Twitter's going crazy, phone's going crazy. David, thanks for calling in. Go ahead. Hey, Dave.
Yes, go
right ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I get it.
Thank you.
Pontoon Beach boy here. I am streaming you as I'm driving back. An hour ago, I dropped my daughter off at a facility called CORE in Branson, Missouri. It's a recovery home with a minimum of a one-year stay. Yesterday, I picked her up at the Haymarket Center in Chicago, where she had a seven-week stay. Prior to that, 2 weeks were in the Loyola University Medical Center, transferred then to a state-run mental health ward, all caused by fentanyl. And it has been one of the most disastrous things that's happened to my daughter and to our family. Unbelievable. Didn't see it coming. This is a kid that is probably, of my four kids, probably nearly the smartest. She's out there in front of it all. Five kids, wonderful mother, and her world fell apart. And now we're putting the pieces back together. And I can tell you that, you know, you don't always see it. You don't see what's hidden beneath. You think you might see the symptoms, but eventually it all comes down to you can't do a fentanyl or a heroin on the weekends and then go to work and expect that, well, you'll be able to sustain that pattern for a period of time. That just doesn't happen. And so now we're dealing with, she'll always be the addict, but I think she's got her mind straight. She's been clean since, I guess, from the beginning of February. And a little bit before that, they gave her the Suboxone. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And, man, it's just been a terrible thing. So when I hear you talking about this, and I listen to your show every day, and by the way, I travel a lot, and I also drive for Uber and Lyft, and I put your show on so people can hear you because you are very much middle of the road. But I'm an avid fan, and so I felt compelled to share my story with you, and you know that's where I'm at.
I thank you for calling, and
you're welcome,
I will say this. You can do everything you can try everything to help her, but until she's ready, it's never going to work. And it sounds like she's ready. And that is a blessing that you should be happy about. And hopefully that treatment center works. My treatment worked for me. There's always pitfalls, and they say relapse is part of recovery. But it sounds like she's got her mind right. And if that's the case, then you're on the right track.
Yeah, that's something the people in my life with addictions, we make a lot of fun, and I'm lots of self-deprecating humor, but I've never failed at anything. Mm. Like, I've never tried to win and lost.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can't make happen.
But you can't solve that. Not until they have hit rock bottom, and everybody's rock bottom is a different level. Until that person has hit rock bottom and has decided that they're gonna put their whole life behind fixing the problem, that nobody else can do anything for them.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah. I am a mother, and my daughter is in rehab, but how do I don't, you're right, I don't understand it. Just stop it.
But, yeah, that's the first reaction.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any of that tone?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. There was a little bit of that. I think that the people, so few people knew, but the people that did know.
Did your dad know?
Saw it firsthand. Yeah, he knew. He didn't know at first, but he knew. And the people that knew about me saw rock bottom firsthand, so they knew that it wasn't like a
nothing to play around with.
Yeah, why don't you just stop? Just walk away, and everything will be fine. Like they had the understanding mm-hmm. that that's not the case. Yeah.
Could anybody have told you that this is a problem, or did you have to realize it yourself, Tony?
No, you have to realize it yourself. Like I said, I was looking, I remember I was laying in my bed looking at my phone, and I'm looking up all these symptoms, and I'm like, what is wrong with me? Mm. And then I start, going down the rabbit hole, and I'm like, I am in withdrawals. I am having opioid withdrawals, and I am an addict. And holy F. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Bo, big day. Thanks for being here. I want to say, get thrown in the deep end.
Real quick, I just want to say, if anybody, the reason I did this is because I want to be able to provide insight and hopefully education anytime this topic comes up in the future. And if anybody wants to tweet me or email me or reach out to me in any way, I will be so happy to provide advice or guidance or anything I can do to help anybody out there that might be struggling. Please feel free to reach out. Sorry.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.